We're in Ephesians 4, 14 to 16, just a couple verses today. After last week, when we looked at how the Lord descended and ascended, did you think about that during the week? No, huh? We talked about it. We talked about it on Wednesday night, how he descended to led captivity captive, the people that were waiting in Abraham's bosom in paradise, and then shot through the heavens. You know, I always think of Superman, you know, shooting through the heavens on his way up to the third heaven. Guys, and proclaiming to the demonic horde that who he was and that he overcame them. So now we're at verse 14. We're going to do 14 to 16 today, and we're going to look at this section should be rated M for mature audiences only, and you'll see why. So it says here that we should no longer, verse 14, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. Boy, there's a lot of words in there, isn't there? But speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things unto him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Whew. Lots of stuff. So, the reason why I say it should be rated M for mature audiences is Paul's admonishing the immature believer not to be tossed to and fro and carried around in circles with every wind of cunning teaching. And the word here that when he uses child, he means an infant. Okay? This is how childlike, childish it is. One who does not talk, cries when hungry, can't dress themselves, needs their diapers changed. So, I had a friend that was a worship leader, and he, after he got done with worship, the little two-year-old granddaughter came up, and he had his guitar, and he's bending over, and he said, "Oh," he says, "did you mess your pants?" And the two-year-old looked at him, and she goes, "No, Grandma did it." He said, "No, honey," he says, "I think you messed your pants." She goes, "No, Grandma did it." And you know, that's really funny for a two-year-old, but it's not funny for a 42-year-old. And we get it all the time. Somebody else did this. Somebody else messed my pants. Excuse me, but that's a bad picture that you'll take home with you. So, yeah, it's okay for a two-year-old to say that, but not for a 42-year-old. And this is what Paul's saying. He says, look, don't be like a child. You know, we should no longer be children tossed to and fro. Look what the child happens to them, is tossed to and fro. So put your big boy pants on and grow up. That's what he's saying, in today's language anyways. Put your big boy pants on and grow up. So what are the signs of immaturity? Well, first of all, it's tossed, okay? So it says here, tossed to and fro. And then the to and fro is a nautical term, okay? Tossed to and fro like waves. And I don't know about you, but I have been seasick. And I turn gray. And I have to have scopolamine before I got healed of Meniere's, but I don't know, we'll test that out when maybe we go down to Florida. Tossed by the waves, a nautical term. Are you seasick on false teaching, seasick on false doctrine, seasick on false philosophies and religious quackery, and being enticed is going in circles? That's what it means. Being enticed is going in circles. And the word here is actually agitated mentally. It's metaphorically meant agitated mentally. So how do you get agitated in your mind? Well, that looks good today and that looks good tomorrow, and being very changeable and impulsive and everything else and going after the next thing that's shiny. And it's like a donkey sniffing the wind. It is. So the unstable soul going in all directions and changeable with the wind. The wind blows this way, goes this way. Then the wind blows this way, they go over this way, back and forth, all over the place. And chasing after shiny things. What are they today? The latest worship. Okay? I played in my class, which we played in here, the Holy Ghost Hokey Pokey, because we had religious themes in American culture. And I said, do you know what this, how the culture affects the church and how the church affects the culture? And I played the Holy Ghost Hokey Pokey, and they were aghast. I said, you have never seen this? That's what goes on in youth worship. And in this particular case. And then the people putting their hand, put your hands in and put your hands out. And then they said, I felt God touch me when I put my hands in and I got healed of something. Now, this is what we've seen with the false healing stuff. We've seen the people, the devil can heal. Do you ever read The Beautiful Side of Evil by Johanna Michelson years ago? Yeah, you read that. The devil can do healing, false healing. And about 90 days later, you get it back with vengeance. And that's what we've seen. People go down to Lakewood, Florida. Hey, we're going to Lakewood. We should go to Lakewood, Florida. Go visit. Go visit. Flakewood, yeah, Flakewood. And they go and they got the angel feathers and the gold dust and all that kind of stuff. And they're getting healing, but then 90 days later it comes back horribly, horribly worse. Because you're chasing after signs and wonders. And what does Jesus say? An adulterous generation seeks for signs and wonders. Do we believe that the Lord can heal and for miracles? Yes. But you preach the word first, and it follows. So, this trickery of men, it says here, every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men. And the trickery of men means dice playing, gambling. Isn't that interesting? The trickery of men. And the cunning craftiness, those that lie in wait to deceive, and the Greek word there is methodia, which we get the word method. And so it's a deliberate planning to deceive men with their cunning craftiness. That's what it means. So it's a plan. It's not just happenstance. It's a planned, deliberate, deceitful laying in wait and cunning craftiness and the trickery of men. So what's the result? What's the result of this? False way of life that strays from the truth is fatal. The false way of life that strays from the truth is fatal. And you see these things. You hang around the old crowd. You've got so many people that are coming in that can't break away from their old crowd. And so they get drawn back into meth, and they get drawn back into smoking, and they get drawn back into all these different things because they can't break away from that group. And they can't give up their addictive lifestyles. Anything that you cannot lay down by an act of your will is an addiction. There's a little simple definition. Anything that you cannot lay down by an act of your will is an addiction. I don't care what it is. Smoking, drinking, sex, gamble. Doesn't matter what it is. And then all addictions are wrapped up in one thing. Just in case you're wondering, since we're talking about that. Every addiction, doesn't matter what it is wrapped up in the lack of nurture and the need to be loved. Because your body will pitch a fit when its serotonin goes down because you don't feel good about yourself. And in our culture, we have so many things to choose from. So you have to get down to knowing that Jesus loves you, that Jesus thinks you're worthwhile, and that... We don't have to reach, I've got somebody right now that I'm trying to, what can you do other than going partying when you're lonely or you're bored or whatever? See, that's the thing. You just go to that last thing that you always did, and it's hard to break that cycle. When you're not disciplined, when you dabble with fringe religious experiences. And so Paul, he doesn't mention them here, but do you remember Demas? Demas once walked with Paul, and he departed from the faith. Alexander the coppersmith, he said he did me wrong. People that were once walking in the truth, they strayed away in a false way. They went after the false way. So, let's look at verse 15, though. But, what's the but there for? Well, yes. Yet, how about but now? Yet, speaking the truth in love. Now, speaking the truth in love. So you go get a copy of the article and you see if I spoke the truth in love. I don't know. I did. People wrote back and said, you did. Ones that wanted to hear it, I guess. Speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things unto him. So speaking the truth in love, the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, but the condition has to be in love. With loving caution and kind allowance. With loving caution and kind allowance. That's the kind of love it's supposed to be. We're to grow up into Him. We're supposed to resemble Jesus. He's our example. Was Jesus mamby-pamby and just, you know, whitewashed and, you know, kind of milquetoast? No. I don't know where we got that from. We're supposed to resemble Jesus. He's our example. He is the source by which we grow. So when it says grow up in all things unto Him, He's got to be the source. Look, I just bought some blueberry plants. Okay? They still have the little flower on the end. I can cheer that blueberry plant on as much as I want, but the fruit is going to come and knock that little blossom off, and then the fruit will grow, right? And it's got seasons for it to grow. So, you know, I can try to force that thing to grow. I try to water it, keep it out in the sun when it is sunny, and have it grow, but there's some natural seasons for the growth. We have to let Christ grow in us. I think sometimes we try to produce Christ in us, and that's not good. Because it's forced, you know, it's forced. So Jesus is the source by which we are to grow, and Jesus is the object and the goal in which you are to grow. So that's why it says keeping your eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. So you've got a source by which you grow, and also the object and goal in which you are to grow and to grow towards Him. What's the difference between a dream and a goal? A plan. Oh, you went to that conference too, didn't you? Yeah. That's good, though. I like that. It was the difference between a dream and a goal is a plan. If you don't have a plan, you can dream all you want, but they're not going to get anywhere. You should have some. So when we passed out that little diagram last week, there was a plan about this. We don't know the timing or anything, but there was a plan about the word of God sharper than any two-edged sword, right? We got the soul and the spirit, dividing the soul and the spirit, and there were soulish things that we wanted to do, not soulish carnal things, but things that we were to do, and then in the spirit, the prayer and all that kind of stuff, and it was dividing the soul and the spirit. So we have a plan. So the difference between a dream and a goal is a plan. So what is your plan to grow like Christ? You got to have some kind of a plan. I don't know about you, but I was getting kind of stale in my reading and stuff because, look, I know what the next, does anybody want to do next week? Because you know what the next grouping of verses are, right? It's going to be 17 through 24, basically, in Ephesians. Anybody want to do it? No volunteers. Okay. She will. Yeah, I know. But you get stale when you're like in a book and you're, you know, I'm trying to make sure that I'm feeding you well as far as, okay, what's in here? You know, gosh, there's a lot of words in here. What does it all mean? But sometimes you lose your devotional time with the Lord. When I went to seminary, one of the things that I said I would do was to have my devotional time with the Lord first, and then I would learn to parse the verbs and all those kind of things and papers and give them to Tony the night before so she could type them and all that kind of stuff. I think that's what kept me going for 4 years through seminary. Is just making sure I had a devotional part of my life with the Lord and not just, you know, learned, because we were in the Bible, but, you know, sometimes it can get dry. Well, if it's living, well, who's dry? You know? And so just even, yesterday we started a little young men's, I guess, Bible study right before we started taking clients yesterday. And just to start out, and I had a guy that's been in, and he wants to go to seminary, and he's been through a lot. He's a waiter, and he says, I got some friends, and this and that. So he says, well, fine, let's go ahead and start something. You know? It's good to have, what, a Paul, a Barnabas, and a Timothy in your life. What's the Paul for? You should always have somebody that can pour things into you, no matter if you're, you know, Moses, right? You should. Then you have Barnabas, that's somebody that comes alongside of you. That's your bud that says, you know, you have bad breath. I mean, that's the bad breath zone. Who tells you have bad breath? Don't laugh. Your friend should tell you have bad breath. Don't wait for the people out in, you know, Starbucks to tell you have bad breath, because they won't. They'll just stay away from you. And then you should have a Timothy, somebody that you're pouring into. So keeping those three. So what's the plan that you have to grow like Jesus? Well, I'm now accountable to go through a little devotional that we have, and also the a Tozer book, Knowledge of the Holy. So that's my accountability right now. We're to be fit together and knitted together into the body, okay? So that's what it says. From whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, So we're to be fitted and knit together into the body. So who's the head of the body? Jesus. That's right. So where are you going to get your sustenance from? Jesus. Ever see a body walking around without a head? No. Well, maybe the headless horseman that we had in, where was that? Sleepy Hollow. It's headless horseman. That was weird. Anyway, he's the head. Now, there's an old Keith Green song that he said, he is divine and you are the branches. And that's true. You take a branch away from the vine, what's it going to be? Dead. Three times dead. So he's divine and you're the branches. It's an ongoing process. And I think what happens is we get so focused on all this knitting together. I thought about Tony's grandmother with her knitting needles. You probably have them in a box someplace, but her knitting needles, you know, how she knit and stuff. And sometimes when you're knitting, you don't get to see the final product, you know, because you're so concentrating on what you're doing. Or if you're doing some kind of like a rug or tapestry, you're seeing all the strings in the back, right? It doesn't look very pretty. But when you turn it around, there's the thing that you're knitting or that you're cross-stitching. And that's what God's doing. It's an ongoing process. He's putting a great tapestry together. And what we see is the back end of it with the threads and the colors and the strings and all that kind of stuff. But one day he's going to turn it around. It's going to be a beautiful tapestry. And we're all part of it. So he's been knitting together all of these eons and effectively working. Now, look at this. This says something. It says here that whatever it says here, knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share. Isn't that something? Remember what we read about early on in Ephesians, according to the power that works within you? What does that mean? Does anybody remember that? According to. So the degree to which the head flows through the others in an organic union, your part is determined by each saint's fellowship with the Lord. You get a part of this. It says, according to the effective working by which every part does its share. That means you have a part in this. You actually have a part in this whole thing. How much time do you get to spend with the Lord? I was reading about David Wilkerson because they had like a little obituary and stuff. And in 1958, while I was watching, I think it was Johnny Carson or it might have been Jack Parr back then, late at night, he got this thought, what if I got rid of the television? That's what the thought was. What if I got rid of this television? And he got rid of his television and he spent midnight to 2 instead of watching Jack Parr and the late night shows praying. What fruit did that bring? You know, that was the start. And then he had a Life magazine and he was like, Lord, this is distracting me from my prayer. It's like the Lord says, no, I want you to read something in there. And it was about the gangs in New York and how they beat this one kid in a wheelchair and stabbed him 7 times and left him dead. And that's when he says, I want you to go work with these kids in New York. He's this small town Pennsylvania pastor. And God says, I want you to go to New York City and work with these kids. And what happened? What? Nikki Cruz, right? The Cross and the Switchblade, right? Teen Challenge that went all over the world helping addicts. Just one person. Turned the television off. Sold it, actually. Just that one person. So, our part is determined by each saint's fellowship with the Lord. That's our part. And if every part doesn't share, you won't be a AWOL Christian. Michael told me this a long time ago. AWOL Christian means absent without the Lord. And you don't increase and grow at all. You're just kind of stagnant. So if every part doesn't share, what happens? Here's the result. It causes the growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Wow. We started with love and we ended with love there. So, the building edifice edifies itself in love. So love is the mortar that holds it all together. Love is the mortar that holds that whole building, the whole body of Christ together. Because that's what it says. It says edifying of itself in love. So, there's a lot there with all those words. So we have to remember that we get a part. Now, does that mean God's not going to do what he's going to do because you opt out and you say, I'm, you know, going to go eat worms or whatever? No. He's still going to accomplish things. But, you know, I know we're all being put together in this grand building. I don't want my brick to look, you know, dilapidated and all bruised up and chipped and everything else. So every part does its share and edifies itself in love, and that's what holds everything together. I know it always says, don't, you know, the fruit of the Spirit is love. Remember, there's one fruit, it says love, and it manifests itself in joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, goodness, long-suffering. And when you pray for love, guess what's going to come at you? The opposite, because it's going to test that, and it's going to develop that muscle, basically. But really, I've been looking at that a lot lately, and it's like from that 1 Corinthians, it says, you can do all the other things. You could have your body burned with fire, and you can speak the language of the angels, and if you have not love, you're a clanging gong and a cymbal. Ugh. So, yes. Yeah. The servant of the Lord shall not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, correcting those who are in opposition to themselves. Yeah, I put that in there. Because just in itself, it says it's in opposition. And you think somebody's in opposition to the servant of the Lord, but it's not. It's self-opposition, because then the rest of the verse makes sense. If perchance God would grant them repentance, that they may come to the knowledge of the truth. There's something else in there that I'm missing. That's why you do the study and find out what it is, because if you just took it as opposition, then you look at it, somebody's opposed to you for what? Being a servant of the Lord and being gentle? No, they're in turmoil inside. And that's why you have to be patient. I'm not going to try to go through fast to get to Ephesians 6, but I just got through reading about the armor, and it's probably going to take as long as it's taken to get through this far, because when you see the word war and warfare, I think we talked about this a little bit, the four words, four times that war and warfare come up in the New Testament all have to deal with warfare inside. It's not kicking the devil, it's the warfare inside. So what happens is, just like this verse says, if you're in opposition to yourself, you already have let the enemy get a foothold to basically torment the snot out of you. Excuse me. So what it is the warfare inside, there's a war inside of me, you know, between who I want to be and who I am. That's the war. So a lot of it is just taking care of the stuff inside, and then you can walk with your head up and your shoulders back and not worry as far as the things coming at you, because you're not in opposition to yourself. But we'll all get to that in Ephesians 6 with the armor of God. So, all right? Okay, why don't you put your Bibles aside, and let's take some time. We just pray, and then, Steve, can you pass those baskets around just for tithes and offerings? And Let's thank the Lord for our good day that we've had. Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for Mother's Day. Thank you for the ladies in our congregation. And thank you, Lord, we get to honor them today. And Father, we just really pray and ask that you would remind us that we need not be infants that are tossed to and fro, who can't talk and crying all the time and can't dress ourselves and our diapers need to be changed. Lord, that we need to be mature and not be enticed and not be tricked by men. But we need to speak the truth in love, Lord. Help us to remember that, in love. And that you're our source, that you're our object, and you're the goal of our life. And that you're knitting us together. And that you, as the head, flow through others. And Lord, you're building us up. You're edifying us in love. And help us to remember that that is the mortar that holds everything together. Above everything else, above teaching, above prayer, above everything is love. So help us to love on our moms and our wives today. And we just give you all the glory for this day in Jesus' name. Amen.